Just by coincidence, Brother Dale happened to mention this in his prayer, but I'll talk this morning about Christ, our high priest. And we'll look over in Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have a great high priest. There were previous folks who were called high priests. Every year, Aaron and his predecessors would pass from the court, and they would go through the holy place, and they would go into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. And there they would offer a blood sacrifice, first for their own sins, and then for the sins of the people of Israel. And all the high priests of Israel, Aaron and those who followed him, maintain that ritual. We as Christians too have a high priest, the one who was the fulfillment of all that Aaron and those who followed him did. And he entered into the heavenly sanctuary. But brother, this is important. He only did it once. He didn't have to go in there every year like Aaron did. And there he offered the all-sufficient sacrifice of his own blood. Hebrews 9, verse 12, we read, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And so I want today to just briefly consider our high priest. Can only begin to touch upon what it means and who he is. But consider our high priest and what response then that ought to bring from us as his people. We look back there at the passage again in Hebrews 4 and verse 14, and we see the characteristics of our high priest. Seeing then that we have a high priest, we see that he's a superior high priest. He is superior to Aaron. He is superior to the Aaronic priesthood. He is superior because of where he is. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that passed into the heavens. All those high priests of Israel that preceded him, and all the services in the tabernacle, and all of the services in the temple were but types and foreshadows of him and of his sacrifice. Hebrews 9, verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Our high priest is now in heaven, and there he makes intercession for us, having offered that once and all sufficient sacrifice. In Hebrews 7 we read in verse 23, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. You see that the other high priests, Aaron and those that followed him, they all died. Our high priest will never die. There won't have to be a succession. With him it's concluded and finished. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, Because he continueth ever hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. We have one that makes constant intercession for us. We don't have to worry about, you know, his successor. He ever lives. The Apostle John writes in 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have an advocate. We have an intercessor, one that ever lives before the throne of grace to make intercession on our behalf. And not only is he an intercessor, but he is also our mediator. We read in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ, Jesus. Our great high priest makes intercession. Our great high priest is our mediator. He stands between God and man because he is God and man. And there's no other that can do it. And there are none other. There's one mediator. And not a mediator and a mediatrix. And not Jesus and Mary. There's not a mediator and all these sub-mediators, all these so-called saints. One mediator. That's the only one we need. And if we have him, why would we need another? Or why would we seek another? So he's superior because of where he is. And where he is, he acts as our intercessor and our mediator. And he's superior because of who he is. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Our mediator is one like any of the other high priests that preceded him. He's Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus is his given name. It emphasizes his human nature. It reminds us that our Lord is even today identified with us. He is even yet today glorified man. 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is as much man today as when he walked the earth. He's as much God as he ever was. When he became man, he did not cease to be God. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And there the emphasis of his divine nature. He never ceased to be God. He was the perfect God-man. And he was the only one that could redeem a lost mankind. He was the only high priest I can accomplish in reality the redemption of a people and the putting away of sin. John 1:1, the apostle writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ, our great high priest, is God. He became God incarnate. We read down in verse 14 of John 1. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's superior because of who he is. He is Jesus, the Son of God. He is God incarnate. He is God become man. He's superior because of what he did. Seeing then we have a great high priest who's passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. He's superior because he offered that all-sufficient sacrifice. Christ offered the only and all-sufficient sacrifice. Hebrews 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, He entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? He offered the one all-sufficient sacrifice. He shed his blood on our behalf. On the cross he said, "It is finished." And he did what the blood of goats and calves could not do, to the purging of the conscience from the dead works to serve the living God. So he's a superior high priest. But not only is he a superior high priest, he is a sympathetic high priest. So we look back in Hebrews 4 and verse 15. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And though he's passed into the heavens, he remains sympathetic. That word "touch" there is the Greek sumpatheo. And of course we get our English word sympathy from it. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He is sympathetic. He understands. There's sometimes we can't find anybody else that understands. Sometimes perhaps not even a mate. Not our friends. Not our family. But he understands. And in a real sense, he's been where we are, but without sin. Psalms were told in Psalms 103:14, "For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." He knows our frame. He remembers we're dust. He made us. And he became one of us. He became man and he made man. He knows our frail nature. It's rather amazing to contemplate such a sovereign God that so knows and identified with his people. And he's sympathetic because he was tempted like we are. He suffered real temptation. And he overcame that temptation in his human nature. Though I believe he was incapable of sin, he overcame this yet in his human nature. Though he was incapable of sin, had he succumbed, he would have had 1,000 times greater excuse than any man that ever lived. But he did not succumb. He suffered temptation in all the various forms that mankind is wont to face. 1 John, the Apostle John, breaks down 1 John 2 and verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." The lust of the flesh. After not eating for 40 days, he's tempted to make the stones into bread. The desire, he understood the same kind of human needs that we have, the requirements that we have, the desires of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the pride of life. He says, "Cast down thyself." And the angels will give, he will give his angels charge over thee. Appealing to pride, appealing to the kingdoms of the world. He overcame all those things, very much as we saw our mother succumb to them. And Eve, we see in Genesis 3:16, "And when the woman saw the tree of life, or the tree was good for food, the lust of the flesh, that it was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Where we succumbed, he didn't. But he suffered the same sort of temptations that all of us are subject to. So he's a superior high priest. He's a sympathetic high priest. But he's also a sinless high priest. And if he were all those things, and he was not sinless, it would avail us nothing. If he had been sympathetic without being sinless, we would have no Savior. He had to be sinless if he was to atone for the sins of others. For if he'd sinned, he would have his own sins to atone for. Again, Hebrews 9 and verse 14, we read, How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He was offered without spot. He was the sinless one. The Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1 and verse 18, For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish, and without spot. He was a sinless high priest, unlike Aaron, who had to go into the sanctuary and first offer sacrifices for his own sins. Our great high priest offered the sacrifice once and for all for the sins of his people. So having such a high priest, having such a superior high priest, having such a sympathetic high priest, having such a sinless high priest, what then ought to be our response? Again, back in Hebrews 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the infirmities of with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Because he's superior, we ought to hold fast our profession, as we see there in verse 14. Since we know that he's a sovereign God, we have no reason to waver. We have no reason to fret. We have no reason to waffle. We have no reason to compromise. We know that he is supreme, that he is superior, that he is sovereign. We ought to hold fast our profession. Not because of anything in us, but because of who he is. Because we know that our labor is never in vain in him. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, the apostle says, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We should hold fast our profession. Our labor is never in vain in the Lord. He knows all. He determines all. He discerns all. Sometimes you say, well, I'm doing what I'm supposed to, but I don't seem to be accomplishing nothing. Doesn't seem to be nothing happening. That's not our business. That's not our concern. He knows all. And our labor's never in vain in him, because he's superior high priest. And because he's such, we ought to continue on by his grace, knowing that he's determined the course, and he's determined the conclusion. Continue on confident in what he will bring forth. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. And Paul knew the time was coming. He was going to depart this earth. They were going to take him in and take off his head. But Paul held fast his profession because of who his high priest was. For I'm now ready to be offered, for the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know, we don't always understand. We don't always comprehend what's transpiring in our own lives or in the lives of others. But we can always trust. Because he's a superior high priest, we ought to hold fast our profession. We ought not let the distractions and the temptations and the trials to distract us, because we know who he is and what he will accomplish. Secondly, because he's a sympathetic and a sinless high priest, we ought to come boldly to the throne of grace. We see there in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. We're to come boldly. And then the verb tense there and the original speaks of a continuous coming. We're to come boldly, daily. We're to come boldly, continuously. We're to come boldly, or keep on coming, boldly to the throne of grace. You know, it's not just when the Lord calls us to himself, but again, as we're availed to come before him in prayer, and as we communicate with him and commune with him on a moment-by-moment and a day-to-day basis, to come boldly to the throne of grace. God occupies a throne. He is superior. He is supreme. He is sovereign. And it's a throne of grace. And it's a throne of grace because he is king. Philippians 2:10, and at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is sovereign. He is sympathetic. He is sinless, and we can come boldly to the throne of grace. He occupies that throne because of his judgment as well. We read in Revelation 20, his judgment of the world. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. He'll judge all the fallen world, all fallen men. He'll judge all the reprobates. They'll stand before him. They'll open the books, and they'll be judged according to their works. A lot of folks think they want to be judged by their works. They'll find out that they don't want to be. For we read here at the great white throne judgment, all that appear there are judged by their works, and they're all cast in the lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Those that were written in the book were those that were given to him of the Father from before the foundation of the world. Those for whom he laid down his life. Those for whom he became the great high priest. Our great high priest. Most thankfully we are that his throne is the throne of grace, because he is a Savior. For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. not of works, lest any man should boast. This throne of grace, and we come to the throne of grace. We boldly come to the throne of grace to get what? Justice? No, we don't want justice. We come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. We need mercy, not justice. Mercy is the withholding of that punishment that we rightly deserve. But beyond mercy, it's a throne of grace, because grace goes beyond mercy. Grace is the bestowing of blessings that we don't deserve. Not only do we not get the punishment that we deserve, we receive blessings that we don't deserve. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is favor against all merit, because we have none. And we come in the time of need. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. It's great to know that His grace is sufficient. And I look about from time to time and see the experiences of others, and I think, man, I don't know how I could handle that. Or I look at our Baptist forefathers and the sort of things they suffered, and I say, I don't know how I could stand up to that. But He gives us grace in the time of need. He gives us the grace that we need. He gives us the grace that is sufficient. You know, when we're tempted to sin, our great high priest was tempted. When we're deserted by our friends, our great high priest was deserted. When we're persecuted by the world, our great high priest was persecuted. When we're bereaved, he wept at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. When we face the dying hour, as he did at Gethsemane, he's been touched, you know, with our infirmities. And beyond all that, most importantly, when we're in need of a Savior, He's the only Savior. So we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We have a great and sinless high priest, superior, far superior to Aaron and all that followed him. And because of His all-sufficient sacrifice, then we may come boldly to the throne of grace. Because He's sovereign, we can hold fast our profession. And I pray that we might recommit ourselves to that struggle that's before us. And as I've often said, as we look at our high priest, as we understand that we don't understand, so much we don't understand, but we understand enough. We cannot. Two things. We know that He loves His chosen people, and we know that He's absolutely sovereign. What else do we really need to know? We know that He loves His people, and we know that He's sovereign. We don't have to fret and worry about anything else, because we have such a high priest. And I pray that we might come boldly to the throne of grace, obtain mercy, and find grace in the time of need. Let's take our hymnals this morning. We'll turn to page number 204, The Footsteps of Jesus. Let's stand as we sing this closing hymn, 204. Sweetly, Lord.
make the pathway go. We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go. Though they lead on the cold, dark mountains seeking his sheep, or along by the lowest fountains helping the weak. Good friends of Jesus that make the pathway go. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. If they lead through the temple, holy preaching the word, or at homes of the poor and lowly serving the Lord. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway go. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go. Then at last when on high he sees us our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus end at his throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway go. We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go.
Heavenly Father, we thank thee for such a high priest as Jesus, the Son of God. Lord, I thank you that we're not dependent upon Aaron or upon any other man. Lord, for man can never measure up. Man must needs answer for his own sins, even as Aaron had to offer sacrifice for his sins. Father, we thank thee for such sinless high priest, one who offered the all-sufficient and perfect sacrifice, his own precious blood, the only sacrifice acceptable unto thee. Father, we thank thee for showing that that sacrifice was acceptable by his glorious resurrection from the dead. Lord, even as we meet on this day. Father, we really can't comprehend all that was involved in our Savior becoming man, and bearing our sins, suffering our punishments. Father, we thank thee for that transaction. Lord, that made us your people. Father, thank you for our Savior. Lord, thank you for all that you provide in each day. Lord, thank you for each one that's here. Pray your hand upon us as we go forth this week. Pray you be with our brother Pruffle as he's away from us. Lord, I pray your hand upon those that need your healing, and upon their families. Father, we thank you for your all-sufficient grace that you bestow upon your children. Lord, thank you for your everlasting love. And we pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.